I don't know if you know this, but I have an older brother. I don't talk about him much, but my older brother's name is Eddie. Once you get past the fact that he blew up my Halloween candy while I was holding the bag with a firecracker, and once you get past the fact that he put an arrow through my hand once, he's really not such a bad brother. In fact, we are actually really close. We're probably as close as brothers can be. We do everything together. Here's a picture of us fishing many years ago. We were serious. Look at that serious look. And we've been fishing our whole lives together. We went fishing Thursday just for fun. We also did this ministry. We ran the Royal Ambassador Program for young boys at our church for, I don't know, 9 or 10 years we spent teaching the boys about God's Word. And then if that wasn't enough, we decided to start this business together, Wong & Wong, Certified Public Accountants, and we did that for like 20, 25, I saw him more than I saw my wife. We were really close. And lastly, we were the best man at each other's wedding. I looked like I was 16, I don't know. Of course, hair will do that for you. We are probably as close as brothers can be. I actually appreciate him, even though he picked on me when I was little. He taught me how to beat up people bigger than me. So when I went to school at 4, I was 4'11 when I went to high school, he taught me how to beat up people who were bigger than I was. So, but in today's verse, in our focal verse today, we find the relationship between the first set of brothers in history, in Genesis, was the complete opposite of what we have. The Bible tells us in Genesis 4:6, let me tell you a little background. The Bible tells us that Eve gave birth to a son, two sons. The oldest was Cain, and the youngest was Abel. Abel was a shepherd, and Cain was a farmer. Both brought offerings to the Lord, and the Lord looked with favor on Abel's offering, but on Cain's offering, he did not look with favor, because Cain did not come with the right heart. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then let's look at Genesis 4:6. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?" His offering was not right because he didn't have the right heart. "But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." But now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" That phrase, "am I my brother, am I my sister's keeper," is the passage I want to talk about today. Well, the rest of the Bible says yes. Yes, you are your brother and sister's keeper. Yes, you're supposed to take care of them, look out for them, and watch out for them, and do what you can for them. If you're not sure about that, Jesus gave us this command in Matthew 22:36. "Teacher," Jesus was asked, "which is the greatest commandment in the law?" The rabbis and the religious leaders would sit around and talk about what is the greatest commandment in the Old Testament. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." God is the Creator. Love Him. Love Him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Worship Him as your Creator and your God. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. If you can't keep the law to love your neighbor, if you can't keep the law to be your brother and sister's keeper, you have broken all the commands. Because these commands, all the prophets, all the laws, all the word, the gospel, everything hangs on the command to love the Lord and love people. If you can't love your neighbor, do you really love God? And so let's look at this a little deeper. And if you want to take out your sermon outline, the problem is simply selfishness. The problem, why did Cain kill his brother? It is selfishness fueled by pride. Now, why did God ask Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" Doesn't God know everything? Yes, God knows everything. But God asks us questions to give us an opportunity to repent, to confess, to get right with Him. But Cain's reply is is a rebuke. It's a rejection of God's command. He says, am I my brother's keeper? He's probably saying it sarcastically. Am I responsible for my brother? His attitude shows a lack of feeling, any feeling for another human being. This kind of selfishness kills affection and lashes out with hatred. Selfishness is Cain's problem. Selfishness is this world's problem today. Every act of violence you see today is because of selfishness. Cain wanted what he wanted, when he wanted it, the way he wanted it, because he was selfish. Do you think like that? Or maybe today, as you came into worship, you're angry about something. You're bitter about something because you don't get what you want, when you want it, the way you want it. So Cain's selfishness manifests itself in murderous rage. Now, God had tried to talk him out of it. You know, sin is crouching at your door. You master it. You master it with the power and the Word of God. But yet he still premeditated to kill his brother. Now look at these headlines on this slide. You know, another murderous rage. One man's rage. In the grip of fear. Yet another mass shooting. Today we see that people, when their selfishness turns inward, they become bitter and angry. They lash out in murderous rage. All violence comes from that. You know, I read a story the other day about a mother who threw her toddler against the wall and broke his skull. And I'm like, man, we think, how can this happen? It's because selfishness has infested in their lives. God says, you are your brother's keeper. Now, you may not have this same intense hatred as Cain. I know many of you, you don't. But many times we have the seed of the attitude. That seed, that little attitude that can grow into something if we don't let God help us master it. If God is not in control of our lives, we have no self-control. That means sin is in control. How many times have you said, it's not my problem? Someone tells you about someone's problem or situation, a problem at work, or someone who looks like they need help, and you say, it's not my problem. It's not my problem. I'm too busy serving God to help people. Isn't that what they call an oxymoron? I'm too busy serving God to help people. You know, we want people to join a small group because I think for the health of our church, we need people to join small groups because we need people to get to know people they don't know. But a lot of people say, I don't want to join a small group because I don't want to care about a bunch of people I don't know. I have my group of friends. I have my group of family. Let someone else do it. But that's not what God calls us to be. Look at Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. We have free will. We talked about that, I think it was last week. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, the selfish nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. What a picture. We are biting and devouring each other. We're tearing into each other. We're ripping each other apart with our words, with our actions, with our attitude. The opposite of being selfish is being a servant. And this is what God calls us to be. Servants. Servants where we look out for one another. Jesus modeled for this for us because he came to give us hope. Jesus came to heal us. Jesus came to teach us his word. He came to serve us. If you have a selfish attitude, you won't serve others. You end up biting and devouring each other. Today, families are being torn apart today because of selfishness. I talked with a man not too long ago about some problems in his family, and they weren't believers or anything, but they just wanted to fight all the time. And I was trying to explain to him the different attitude we as Christians have because of the grace that God gives us that don't fight, forgive. Tell them you forgive them. Apologize to them. Don't show them some grace. Show them something different. Don't bite and devour each other. If you have a selfish attitude, you won't serve others. On the other hand, if you have a servant attitude, you won't be selfish. You can serve others. And when you serve others, you enrich their lives. You enrich your own life when you give of yourself. Because when you serve and give, you become the most like Jesus Christ. You want to feel like Jesus, you want to act like Jesus, you serve and you give. Then you'll have a rich and satisfying life. Now, what does it mean, being your brother's keeper? What does that really mean? It doesn't mean we do everything for somebody. It doesn't mean we spoil them and baby them. You know, the Bible's very clear. If you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't work, if you're not taking responsibility for yourself, you have a problem. But it does mean we look after each other in two ways. The first way is you respect one another. We respect each other. After all, God made us in His image. We should respect one another and not hurt each other. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Devoted means we are committed to each other. Honor means we respect. We look at them with respect. You know, if the President of the United States came and met you, you would treat him with respect. Well, God says, treat everybody with respect. Our society is falling apart. It's being torn apart. We're fighting and devouring each other. The main reason is a lack of respect we have for each other. Respect for our parents, respect for our children, respect for our teachers, respect for the police, respect for the flag, respect for God. And when you start pulling all that respect out of society, all you have are people who don't respect each other and don't care about anyone or anything. James 3:9 says this, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. How can we worship God and praise Him on Sunday and during the week treat others like dirt? We must respect each other. If you praise God and curse your fellow man who was made in the image of God, how can that be? Jesus died for that person. Mankind is both wonderful and awful at the same time because of our free will. So all life is precious. From the unborn to the elderly and all those in between. And that's why we as Christians find abortion revolting. It hurts us to think about the lack of respect for an unborn child. I was reading in Belgium that Belgium allows euthanasia, mercy killing, for people who are severely depressed. Not because they have a terminal illness and are near death, but because they're severely depressed. If a person wants to end their life, they can go to a doctor and they will end their life. And I'm thinking, that is a lack of respect. That's disrespecting God. I read a story where one man, his mother, went to a doctor in Belgium and died. She wanted to end her life early. And he didn't even know about it. Her son didn't know about it until they called and said, what do you want us to do with the body? Wouldn't that break your heart? Wouldn't that tear you apart? Life should be protected, preserved, and respected and treated with dignity and love. This is a $20 bill. How many of you would want this? Larry's already got his hand up. How many of you would want this $20 bill? How many of you would want a $20 bill? I found one once in a parking lot. I jumped on it. It was great. I found a $5 bill once and a guy go, oh, that's mine. I'm like, tell me the serial number. No, I don't think it's yours. You know? So if I crumple this $20 bill up, Larry, do you still want this $20 bill? It has wrinkles now. See, that's why I have value. I have wrinkles now. It doesn't matter. So if I crumple this $20 bill up, throw it on the floor and stomp all over it, Larry, do you still want that $20 bill? Why? Because it's still worth $20 bill. This is still worth $20. You know, many times in our lives, we are dropped. We are crumpled. We're ground into the dirt because of our bad decisions. Or maybe the circumstances of life treat us badly. But we still have feeling. We still have value, even though we may feel worthless. Even though we may see people running their lives through the sewer. And I was in the toy district of L.A. And I had to step over people who were passed out on the sidewalk because that's where they slept at night. And even though we think we may be worthless or we think others are worthless, we still have value. No matter what has happened to you, no matter what will happen to you, you never lose value in God's eyes. So you need to respect yourself and respect others. That's what it means to be your brother's keeper. The second thing we see is that you are responsible for one another. The human race is responsible for the human race. God is not going to send an angel to deliver us from our problems. God sent us His Son, and He sent us His Word and the Holy Spirit to help us through our problems. He wants us to help each other. God has many avenues of service for you to fulfill. Many avenues of ways you can help people. God is just going to open the doors for as you walk through life. You don't have to change your life. You don't have to become a missionary. You don't have to become a pastor. As you walk through life, you see where God wants you to serve. Ways to love someone. Ways to sacrifice for someone. Extend compassion or to minister to others as a part of our everyday life. So we must be ready. Ready to meet the need. But that means we have to be looking around. What kind of needs do we need to meet? The first one is spiritual needs. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." Has it ever dawned on you that God says you are spiritually responsible for other people? It's not just my job because you pay me to do it, but because we all need to start having conversations with people about God. Jesus said, "You'll be my witnesses." You will tell them the good news. You will tell them that I love them. You'll tell them that I can transform their lives. Why do we remain on this earth after we become Christians? You know, when we become Christians and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, why doesn't God just beam us up, take us to heaven, because that's where we're going anyways? Why does God let us stay here on earth? Are we saved to just sit in the pew, or are we saved to serve? It's so we can do God's work and to serve Him, to be His instruments of righteousness, to be His hope, vessels of hope and healing in someone's life. So what spiritual need do you need to fill? Do you need to pray for someone? Do you need to offer to pray with someone, even if they're not a Christian, just to pray with them and help them think about God? Do you need to give someone a promise, a truth from God's Word that they can claim in their life? Do you need... Does someone need you to tell them that they're going the wrong way? We must be ready to meet that spiritual need. We must also be ready to meet their physical needs. 1 John 3:17. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. Now, I'm going to be very clear. That verse does not mean you give money to people on the corner. The scripture is very clear. If you want to talk about it with me, I'll be happy to talk. There's a pattern for who we give and who we help. There are truly people who are truly helpless, people who are truly hurting because circumstances beyond their control. But God says if we see someone, now I'm not saying don't give money or don't help. If God touches your heart, you do what God tells you. But God says if you see a brother or sister with a physical need, do something about it. Meet their need yourself. If you can't meet the need yourself, ask a brother or sister or the church to help them. Don't be a spectator. Don't be a spectator. Be a servant who wants to serve. So we must be ready to offer practical and tangible help. If we ignore them, how can we say that God is in me or that we love God? Jesus said, if you give a cup of water to one person, a simple act of kindness, you bring glory to God. You build treasures in heaven. We also need to be ready to meet emotional needs. I think this is one of the needs that the church does not serve as readily as we should. You know, we do food drives. We give money to Operation Care. They distribute funds and food to people. But one of the greatest needs we need to meet is emotional needs. The writer Thoreau once described as the city as a place where many people are lonely together. They're together. I mean, in New York, some of these apartments hold 25, 50,000 people, but they're lonely together. That means your neighbor could be all alone and hurting, and you wouldn't know anything about it. Our modern world promotes spiritual and emotional isolation. We isolate people. And God says, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be our brothers and sisters' keeper. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Jesus gives us hope. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Encourage one another. Build each other up. We are saved to serve. God says, touch a life. Change a life. Save a life. We build each other up emotionally. How? How do you build each other up emotionally? You spend time with each other. That means we need to learn people's names. Now again, I have family, I have close friends, I love being around them, but God says you need to go a little bit further. Learn people's names. Listen to them. Spend some time with them. Share a meal with them. Love them. Encourage them with God's Word. Point them towards Jesus. The solution to every problem in the world is Jesus Christ. Jesus expects you and me to take care of each other. Not because we have to, but because the love of God is in our heart and it flows through our heart to other people and change and transforms their lives. Our last thought says this, be humble or you will stumble. Are you a humble Christian? God wants us to be humble. If you're not humble, you will stumble through life and your Christian life. You will cause other people to stumble. Now understand this, Cain was selfish and he was miserable. He was angry, he was downcast, at times he was probably depressed, at times he was probably screaming in anger. If your selfish nature is in control, I can tell you one thing about you, you're not happy. You complain about everything. You're bitter. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're filled with jealousy or envy. Does that describe you? Does that describe that person that works for you in the next cubicle? Does that describe a classmate? People that need help? You don't have to live that way. They don't have to live that way. Exercise your free will and choose to change. God's Word gives us a plan. Exercise your free will and ask God to use you to help that person you know who is hurting. Humble yourself before God. That means you admit, God, you are God and I am not. God, it's about you. It's not about me. It's about other people. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another, be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. If we're humble, we can be compassionate and sympathetic. God invites us to love others. God invites us to stand up and lift up others. God invites us to kneel down in humility to serve others. Is that degrading at times? It can be. To wash another person's feet, to spend time lifting people up. But that's what God calls us to be. That means that we are challenged to get out of our tight-knit circles of love, of friendships and family, to get out of our comfort zones, to stretch our faith and to love and care about others, to be Jesus' eyes, to be His hands and feet, to deliver the compassion God wants us to deliver. So how do you overcome evil in your heart? You start doing good. The New Testament has over 50 one another commands. Here's a few of them on this slide. One another commands, love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, serve one another, encourage one another, forgive one another, bear with one another, be at peace with one another, be devoted to one another, honor one another, greet, accept, greet with a holy kiss. So many one another, over 50 one another commands. How do you overcome being selfish? You obey these commands. You start praying for people to render this service towards. Put them into practice. And even though you don't feel like it, put it into practice and the feelings will come along. You will finally understand what it means to love. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Man, selfish ambition or vain conceit. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but to the interest of others. It's okay to look after your own interest, but let's start looking around at others and their interests and how we can help them. If you're not looking, you won't help them. But if you're humble and you believe this passage, you will look out for the interests of others. Is your life being driven by selfish ambition and vain conceit. You want the next raise. You want that next promotion. You want your family to be better than everybody else. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to think about other people. Are you humble? Are you looking out for the interests of others? Are you even looking around to see where God is working? Where God is working, where God wants you to come and join Him there. This past 2 months, I've done 5 funerals for people who don't even go to our church. They don't attend our church, but they're in the Chinese community. And when I became a pastor, I committed to serve the Chinese community in hopes of reaching the lost. So when they call, I say yes. I don't believe I've ever turned down a funeral because I want to look out for the interests of others. We have to stretch ourselves and reach out. You become the most like Jesus when you serve and you give. When you experience true joy and experience God's love when we're committed to Him. Look at this next slide. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Isn't that our problem? We think of ourselves all the time. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Oh, I'm a bad person. It's not me. It's not you. It's me. You ever hear that? It's not you, it's me. It's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less and start thinking about other people. So I ask you this question. This week, are you going to be a servant or are you going to be selfish? Are you going to be your brother and sister's keeper or will you ignore them? You know, you cannot love and serve others if our hearts are full of pride and selfishness. Jesus Christ died on the cross to remove those sins from your life. He rose from the dead to release you from the sin of pride and selfishness. So I encourage you today to choose to accept the forgiveness that Christ offers and you'll be able to live and serve God. Brothers and sisters, this week, will you pray about who you can pray for? Will you ask God, God, whose need can I meet? Is there someone I will see this week with a spiritual need that I need to meet? Father, is there someone this week I will meet with a physical need that I can minister to? God, is there someone here in this church with an emotional need who's lonely, who's lost, who's confused that I can meet? Use me. Wake up tomorrow morning and say, God, use me today. I want to be your instrument of righteousness in someone's life today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you chose us. You called us to be your servants, not to be selfish, not to be prideful, but to be your servants. I pray that we will be filled with your love, Father, that your love will fill our hearts because we love you and we worship you as our Creator and our Savior. And help us, Lord, to redirect that love, to give it to someone else, that we may be their friend, that we may be their keeper, that we may watch their back, whether it be our brother or sister or someone we don't know that you want us to minister to, Lord. Help us to be used by you. We want you to use us for your glory. We're not to be afraid to be used by people. We want to be used by you. So bless the commitments that need to be made tonight, today. Does someone need to trust in you as Savior and Lord, Father? I pray they open their heart. Father, my brother or sister in Christ, do they know someone? They already know someone they need to touch their life and be their friend. Honor their commitment to you. We worship you, Father. We glorify and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our invitation song for you. Have a person in mind you want to minister to, you want to share it with me, come forward. You have a commitment to make, please stand and come forward. Let's stand as we sing. Came to give us hope. Jesus came to heal us. Jesus came to teach us His Word. He came to serve us. If you have a selfish attitude, you won't serve others. You end up biting and devouring each other. Today, families are being torn apart today because of selfishness. I talked with a man not too long ago about some problems in his family, and they weren't believers or anything, but they just wanted to fight all the time. And I was trying to explain to him the different attitude we as Christians have because of the grace that God gives us that don't fight, forgive. Tell them you forgive them. Apologize to them. Don't show them some grace. Show them something different. Don't bite and devour each other. If you have a selfish attitude, you won't serve others. On the other hand, if you have a servant attitude, you won't be selfish. You can serve others, and when you serve others, you enrich their lives. You enrich your own life when you give of yourself, because when you serve and give, you become the most like Jesus Christ. You want to feel like Jesus? You want to act like Jesus? You serve and you give. Then you'll have a rich and satisfying life. Now, what does it mean, being your brother's keeper? What does that really mean? It doesn't mean we do everything for somebody. It doesn't mean we spoil them and baby them. You know, the Bible is very clear. If you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't work, if you're not taking responsibility for yourself, you have a problem. But it does mean we look after each other in two ways. The first way is you respect one another. We respect each other. After all, God made us in His image. We should respect one another and not hurt each other. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Devoted means we are committed to each other. Honor means we respect. We look at them with respect. You know, if the President of the United States came and met you, you would treat him with respect. Well, God says, treat everybody with respect. Our society is falling apart. It's being torn apart. We're fighting and devouring each other. The main reason is a lack of respect we have for each other. Respect for our parents, respect for our children, respect for our teachers, respect for the police, respect for the flag, respect for God. And when you start pulling all that respect out of society, all you have are people who don't respect each other and don't care about anyone or anything. James 3:9 says this, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. How can we worship God and praise Him on Sunday and during the week treat others like dirt? We must respect each other. If you praise God and curse your fellow man who was made in the image of God, how can that be? Jesus died for that person. Mankind is both wonderful and awful at the same time because of our free will. So all life is precious. From the unborn to the elderly and all those in between. And that's why we as Christians find abortion revolting. It hurts us to think about the lack of respect for an unborn child. I was reading in Belgium that Belgium allows euthanasia, mercy killing, for people who are severely depressed. Not because they have a terminal illness and are near death, but because they're severely depressed. If a person wants to end their life, they can go to a doctor and they will end their life. And I'm thinking, that is a lack of respect. That's disrespecting God. I read a story where one man, his mother, went to a doctor in Belgium and died. She wanted to end her life early. And he didn't even know about it. Her son didn't know about it until they called and said, what do you want us to do with the body? Wouldn't that break your heart? Wouldn't that tear you apart? Life should be protected, preserved, and respected and treated with dignity and love. This is a $20 bill. How many of you would want this? Larry's already got his hand up. How many of you would want this $20 bill? How many of you would want a $20 bill? I found one once in the parking lot. I jumped on it. It was great. I found a $5 bill once, and the guy goes, oh, that's mine. I'm like, tell me the serial number. No, I don't think it's yours. You know? So if I crumple this $20 bill up, Larry, do you still want this $20 bill? It has wrinkles now. See, that's why I have value. I have wrinkles now. It doesn't matter. So if I crumple this $20 bill up, throw it on the floor and stomp all over it, Larry, do you still want that $20 bill? Why? Because it's still worth $20 bill. This is still worth $20. You know, many times in our lives, we are dropped. We are crumpled. We're ground into the dirt because of our bad decisions. Or maybe the circumstances of life treat us badly. But we still have feeling. We still have value, even though we may feel worthless. Even though we may see people running their lives through the sewer. And I was in the toy district of L.A. And I had to step over people who were passed out on the sidewalk because that's where they slept at night. And even though we think we may be worthless or we think others are worthless, we still have value. No matter what has happened to you, No matter what will happen to you, you never lose value in God's eyes. So you need to respect yourself and respect others. That's what it means to be your brother's keeper. The second thing we see is that you are responsible for one another. The human race is responsible for the human race. God is not going to send an angel to deliver us from our problems. God sent us His Son, and He sent us His Word and the Holy Spirit to help us through our problems. He wants us to help each other. God has many avenues of service for you to fulfill, many avenues of ways you can help people. God is just going to open the doors for as you walk through life. You don't have to change your life. You don't have to become a missionary. You don't have to become a pastor. As you walk through life, you see where God wants you to serve. Ways to love someone. Ways to sacrifice for someone. Extend compassion or to minister to others as a part of our everyday life. So we must be ready. Ready to meet the need. But that means we have to be looking around. What kind of needs do we need to meet? The first one is spiritual needs. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." Has it ever dawned on you that God says you are spiritually responsible for other people? It's not just my job because you pay me to do it, but because we all need to start having conversations with people about God. Jesus said, "You'll be my witnesses." You will tell them the good news. You will tell them that I love them. You'll tell them that I can transform their lives. Why do we remain on this earth after we become Christians? You know, when we become Christians and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, why doesn't God just beam us up, take us to heaven, because that's where we're going anyways? Why does God let us stay here on earth? Are we saved to just sit in the pew, or are we saved to serve? It's so we can do God's work and to serve Him, to be His instruments of righteousness, to be His hope, vessels of hope and healing in someone's life. So what spiritual need do you need to fill? Do you need to pray for someone? Do you need to offer to pray with someone, even if they're not a Christian, just to pray with them and help them think about God? Do you need to give someone a promise, a truth from God's Word that they can claim in their life? Does someone need you to tell them that they're going the wrong way? We must be ready to meet that spiritual need. We must also be ready to meet their physical needs. 1 John 3:17. "If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth." I'm going to be very clear. That verse does not mean you give money to people on the corner. The scripture is very clear. If you want to talk about it with me, I'll be happy to talk. There's a pattern for who we give and who we help. There are truly people who are truly helpless, people who are truly hurting, because circumstances beyond their control. But God says if we see someone, now I'm not saying don't give money or don't help. If God touches your heart, you do what God tells you. But God says if you see a brother or sister with a physical need, do something about it. Meet their need yourself. If you can't meet the need yourself, ask a brother or sister or the church to help them. Don't be a spectator. Don't be a spectator. Be a servant who wants to serve. So we must be ready to offer practical and tangible help. If we ignore them, how can we say that God is in me or that we love God? Jesus said, if you give a cup of water to one person, a simple act of kindness, you bring glory to God. You build treasures in heaven. We also need to be ready to meet emotional needs. I think this is one of the needs that the church does not serve as readily as we should. You know, we do food drives, we give money to Operation Care, they distribute funds and food to people. But one of the greatest needs we need to meet is emotional needs. The writer Thoreau once described as the city as a place where many people are lonely together. They're together. I mean, in New York, some of these apartments hold 25, 50,000 people, but they're lonely together. That means your neighbor could be all alone and hurting, and you wouldn't know anything about it. Our modern world promotes spiritual and emotional isolation. We isolate people. And God says that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be our brothers and sisters' keeper. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Jesus gives us hope. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Encourage one another. Build each other up. We are saved to serve. God says, touch a life. Change a life. Save a life. We build each other up emotionally. How? How do you build each other up emotionally? You spend time with each other. That means we need to learn people's names. Now again, I have family, I have close friends, I love being around them, but God says you need to go a little bit further. Learn people's names. Listen to them. Spend some time with them. Share a meal with them. Love them. Encourage them with God's Word. Point them towards Jesus. The solution to every problem in the world is Jesus Christ. Jesus expects you and me to take care of each other. Not because we have to, but because the love of God is in our heart and it flows through our heart to other people and change and transforms their lives. Our last thought says this, be humble or you will stumble. Are you a humble Christian? God wants us to be humble. If you're not humble, you will stumble through life and your Christian life. You will cause other people to stumble. Now understand this, Cain was selfish and he was miserable. He was angry, he was downcast, at times he was probably depressed, at times he was probably screaming in anger. If your selfish nature is in control, I can tell you one thing about you, you're not happy. You complain about everything. You're bitter. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're filled with jealousy or envy. Does that describe you? Does that describe that person that works for you in the next cubicle? Does that describe a classmate? People that need help? You don't have to live that way. They don't have to live that way. Exercise your free will and choose to change. God's Word gives us a plan. Exercise your free will and ask God to use you to help that person you know who is hurting. Humble yourself before God. That means you admit, God, you are God and I am not. God, it's about you. It's not about me. It's about other people. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another, be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. If we're humble, we can be compassionate and sympathetic. God invites us to love others. God invites us to stand up and lift up others. God invites us to kneel down in humility to serve others. Is that degrading at times? It can be. To wash another person's feet, to spend time lifting people up. But that's what God calls us to be. That means that we are challenged to get out of our tight-knit circles of love, of friendships and family, to get out of our comfort zones, to stretch our faith and to love and care about others, to be Jesus' eyes, to be His hands and feet, to deliver the compassion God wants us to deliver. So how do you overcome evil in your heart? You start doing good. The New Testament has over 50 one another commands. Here's a few of them on this slide. One another commands, love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, serve one another, encourage one another, forgive one another, bear with one another, be at peace with one another, be devoted to one another, honor one another, greet, accept, greet with a holy kiss. So many one another, over 50 one another commands. How do you overcome being selfish? You obey these commands. You start praying for people to render this service towards. Put them into practice. And even though you don't feel like it, put it into practice and the feelings will come along. You will finally understand what it means to love. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Man, selfish ambition or vain conceit. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but to the interest of others. It's okay to look after your own interest, but let's start looking around at others and their interests and how we can help them. If you're not looking, you won't help them. But if you're humble and you believe this passage, you will look out for the interests of others. Is your life being driven by selfish ambition and vain conceit? You want that next raise. You want that next promotion. You want your family to be better than everybody else. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to think about other people. Are you humble? Are you looking out for the interests of others? Are you even looking around to see where God is working? Where God is working, where God wants you to come and join Him there. This past 2 months, I've done 5 funerals for people who don't even go to our church. They don't attend our church, but they're in the Chinese community. And when I became a pastor, I committed to serve the Chinese community in hopes of reaching the lost. So when they call, I say yes. I don't believe I've ever turned down a funeral because I want to look out for the interests of others. We have to stretch ourselves and reach out. You become the most like Jesus when you serve and you give. When you experience true joy and experience God's love, when we're committed to Him. Look at this next slide. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Isn't that our problem? We think of ourselves all the time. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Oh, I'm a bad person. It's not me. It's not you. It's me. You ever hear that? It's not you. It's me. It's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less and start thinking about other people. So I ask you this question. This week, are you going to be a servant or are you going to be selfish? Are you going to be a brother and sister's keeper or will you ignore them? You know, you cannot love and serve others if our hearts are full of pride and selfishness. Jesus Christ died on the cross to remove those sins from your life. He rose from the dead to release you from the sin of pride and selfishness. So I encourage you today to choose to accept the forgiveness that Christ offers, and you'll be able to live and serve God. Brothers and sisters, this week, will you pray about who you can pray for? Will you ask God, God, whose need can I meet? Is there someone I will see this week with a spiritual need that I need to meet? Father, is there someone this week I will meet with a physical need that I can minister to? God, is there someone here in this church with an emotional need who's lonely, who's lost, who's confused that I can meet? Use me. Wake up tomorrow morning and say, God, use me today. I want to be your instrument of righteousness in someone's life today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you chose us. You called us to be your servants, not to be selfish, not to be prideful, but to be your servants. I pray that we will be filled with your love, Father, that your love will fill our hearts because we love you and we worship you as our Creator and our Savior. And help us, Lord, to redirect that love, to give it to someone else, that we may be their friend, that we may be their keeper, that we may watch their back, whether it be our brother or sister or someone we don't know that you want us to minister to, Lord. Help us to be used by you. We want you to use us for your glory. We're not to be afraid to be used by people. We want to be used by you. So bless the commitments that need to be made tonight, today. Does someone need to trust in you as Savior and Lord, Father? I pray they open their heart. Father, my brother or sister in Christ, do they know someone? They already know someone they need to touch their life and be their friend. Honor their commitment to you. We worship you, Father. We glorify and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our invitation song for you. Have a person in mind you want to minister to, you want to share it with me, come forward. You have a commitment to make, please stand and come forward. Let's stand as we sing.